I'm certainly not saying anything people don't know, but being a political commentator in the age of Trump has clear advantages and drawbacks. Advantages because there's always something to write, but disadvantages as well. Indeed, the cycle of new outrages from this administration comes so quickly, each overshadowing the next, that one's thoughtfully crafted commentaries can become dated before they're even broadcast. Which is precisely why this commentator has tried to keep a set of hard priorities in mind, commenting only on those issues that really have lasting consequence. And of course, over the last week, among the various crises that have faced us, potential war with North Korea, the reinvigorated message of white supremacy and neo-Nazism, and Mr. Trump's formal denunciation of the Paris Climate Accords, even as Al Gore's new film on the growing threat debuted, seemed to make the choice easy. After all, the simple fact is we are very unlikely to go to war over North Korea's growing nuclear arsenal, simply because we don't have the ability to do much about it. While North Korea is hardly likely to actually threaten us, they only built the damn things to protect themselves from us. Indeed, far from being erratic, North Korea has seen America from Grenada and Afghanistan to Iraq invade and destroy those we have seen as enemies, not forgetting America's own 1950 invasion of North Korea itself. Now, whether we like it or not, we are moving into a relationship with North Korea, much like we've had for decades with both the People's Republic and Russia. A stabilizing state where each side is capable of carrying out horrendous suffering to the other, and that is not a bad thing. And of course, the resurgence of white supremacy and neo-Nazism could not be more disturbing. But the fact of the matter is, reactionary efforts to move the clock backwards have almost never worked. No, however much some might want us to return to an America controlled exclusively by white Protestant males, well, that is not going to happen. America itself has changed too much. Indeed, the society that nurtured such an America faded into oblivion some time ago, which those that enthusiastically embrace racism will soon come to understand. While Trump's work to slow humanity's struggle to fight and adjust to a destabilized climatic system is going to have long-term and horrific consequences, which is why almost to the last moment I planned to focus exclusively on that issue today. But as so often is the case, identity trumps rational decision-making. And what we have seen over the last few months is a formal assault on America's national identity, an identity built in the 18th century's great age of democratic revolutions, when America started on the path toward democracy, which the current occupant of the White House shows his disdain for, with each new embrace of the world's dictators, from China's Xi Jinping and Russia's Putin to Egypt's al-Sisi, all the while helping those Republicans striving to lower rather than raise voter turnout. An American identity that was forged ever more dramatically in the 19th century's great battle over slavery, which culminated in Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, an effort that set America even more dramatically on that great path toward human equality. Another element of America's national identity, Lincoln's successor spat on in his embrace of the Ku Klux Klan over the last week. While the 20th century saw America's identity forged in two great struggles, that against European fascism and Russian communism, two struggles that forged our more recent identity, and yes, once again, two great defining challenges, World War II and the Cold War, that have been spat upon by Mr. Trump in his defense of fascism and his embarrassingly obsequious behavior toward Russia. Indeed, if America's leader is incapable of embracing the defining features of the American experience, how can he be allowed to remain in the Oval Office?